Oh, it's different in many ways. And the major way, I would say, is a very different culture. It is more entrepreneurial. It's more open. I think the open curriculum attracts a very different kind of student, and they're a lot of fun.
Now, you recently put out your vision for the future of Brown in a 10-year plan. And in the very beginning of the document, you reference one of Brown's founding ideas of usefulness and reputation. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's interesting. That term usefulness and reputation sounds a little archaic now. In modern terms, I would say that means that we're preparing students for lives of meaning, where in a variety of ways they can further the social good. If you look at our mission statement now, it says that Brown's mission is through education and scholarship research to serve the community, the nation, and the world. And I think our students do that really well when they graduate.
And you've set out several themes of focus for Brown, including understanding the human brain, sustainability in an era of climate change. But the very first theme you mention in this document is creative expression. Christina Paxson, why'd you put that first?
Well, we did not, I should say, put those themes that we will be investing in order of importance. And I want to make that very clear, or else the faculty will be upset, thinking that I favor one area over another. I don't. On the other hand, I think creativity is very important at Brown. When you look at a lot of the world's most important problems, we need technology to solve them, but we also need creativity. We need ingenuity and helping students, you know, they're studying the liberal arts, they're studying the sciences, but bringing in that creative way of thinking, I think, prepares students to do wonderful things.
Your vision for Brown also includes aggressive experimentation with online education. And this comes despite some recent criticism that says online courses are not living up to their promise of democratizing the elite world of higher education. Where would you like to see Brown go in the virtual world?
Well, you know, the criticism that you just noted, I think, is exactly the reason why we have aggressive experimentation. And I've been saying for quite a while, we see promise in this new technology, but we don't really know yet what's going to be great and what will need change and revision. So at Brown, what we're doing is we've done some massive open online courses. We were doing flipped classrooms, blended learning programs. So we're experimenting in a wide range of ways. And most importantly, we're evaluating how well our experiments work so that we can learn as we go.
I'm speaking with Christina Paxson, the president of Brown University, as Brown marks the 250th anniversary of its founding. And of course, since that time, Brown has become much larger and much more diverse than it was in the colonial era. You're the second female president at the university. But there is criticism generally in the world of higher education that we've boosted diversity without paying enough attention to economic diversity. Do you think Brown is doing enough to recruit students from low-income backgrounds?
I am very proud of our record for recruiting students from low-income backgrounds. We have need-blind admissions for American domestic students, and we bring in students from a wide range of economic backgrounds. 43% of our students receive some financial aid, and often full financial aid. And it's over $100 million a year in financial aid.
What do you think could be done to increase the number of students who are, for example, first-generation college goers?
Well, we currently do a very good job with outreach, looking around the country to attract the most qualified students, regardless of economic background. The number of high schools from which we recruit, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's exploded. So instead of looking at a few elite high schools, we're looking at high schools all over the country. And, you know, I think it's important that we not only have economic diversity, but we bring in students from rural backgrounds, students who've been veterans. We want diversity measured in many different ways.
Now, Christina Paxson, you mentioned the role of financial aid at Brown University, and it is a big role. And part of that is because the cost of a college degree these days is really expensive. And it keeps going up. This year, Brown's Corporation approved another increase. I think it was 3.8%.
Mm-hmm.
That means a year of undergraduate education and fees at Brown is pushing $60,000. Can you explain what makes higher education so expensive and why these costs have been so hard to contain?
They have been hard to contain, and we are working very hard to contain them, and will continue to do so over time. This could be a very long discussion, and I know we don't have that much time, but I would say, you know, Brown has pressures like any other university on a number of its revenue streams. Federal grants have been difficult. The financial downturn in 2008, starting in 2008, took a big chunk out of our endowments, which are only now fully recovered from that. And if you look at the costs of high-skilled labor, which is what Brown primarily employs, that's been growing faster than the rate of inflation. Computing technology has been growing faster than the rate of inflation. So a lot of our core costs are just, they're rising quickly.
And despite the cost, studies continue to show that a liberal arts degree is worth it in the long run, even in this post-financial crisis world. What do you think employers see in Brown students that makes them different from graduates of other universities?
Well, I talk to many people who employ Brown students, and I think they value their ability to think very broadly and creatively. There's something about the open curriculum that helps students integrate and assimilate ideas from many different areas. They can look at things from multiple perspectives. So they're problem solvers. They're people. They're good at, you know, they have IQ and EQ, and they do really well.
And we're almost out of time, but you're celebrating Brown this week with a series of talks and public events, and the invitation promises there will be cake. What kind of cake do you serve for a 250th birthday?
So on March 7th, we will have a big open house for the community. One of the main themes of the 250th is to welcome people from Rhode Island into the Brown campus and to explore and learn about our university. We have 250 middle schoolers coming, just to give you an example. The cake will be, and it's hard to picture, but this is what it will be. It will be a cake version of University Hall, which is the oldest building on campus. And it will be very large. There have been long discussions about how to get it up the hill without sliding to the back of the truck. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope people come and enjoy.
Well, we hope the cake makes it up in one piece. Christina Paxson, president of Brown University, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.